We have a fine number assembled with us here tonight for the purpose of studying God's precious and divine word and to worship his matchless name. And you're to be commended for your interest in spiritual matters and being in this place tonight. Come with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to notice a phrase in a particular verse, number 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 24 will serve as the start of our sermon tonight. Paul writes, "Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power." I want to study with you tonight, briefly, that phrase in the first part of verse 24, "Then cometh the end." There are those who have erroneously taught, whether ignorantly or on purpose, that the end has already come, that the Lord has already returned. But I assure you the Bible teaches that he is coming and that we need to be looking for that coming. In the book of Hebrews 9 and verse number 28, the Bible says that he will appear a second time without sin unto salvation. And that when he appears, he will come as a thief in the night. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 10, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 2. Somebody one day may ask you, why is it the Lord has waited so long to send his son back to retrieve the faithful? And there's one word that sums up the answer, and that is long-suffering. It is the long-suffering of God that has caused him to extend time on this earth to give me time and you time and others time to make their life right with the Father in heaven. But I assure you, the Bible says the end is coming. I do not know when it is going to come. Of that day and of that hour, no man knoweth, no, not the Son, not the angels, but the Father alone or only. Mark chapter 13 and verse 32. Though I do not know the date or the time of his coming, I know that he is coming, and I know that when he does come, certain events are going to take place. And that is the gist of our lesson tonight, that when the end comes, this will occur. I want to begin by pointing out tonight that when the end comes, the kingdom will be delivered up. Did you notice that in verse number 24 of our text, that then comes the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God? We noticed a night or two ago that according to Matthew 16, verses 16 through 19, that the words kingdom and church most of the time are synonymous. They mean the same thing. And so when Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, in verse number 24, when the end comes, the church is going to be delivered up to our Almighty Father. However, did you realize there are those who are teaching today that the kingdom is not here yet? They may knock on your door one day and tell you about wars and rumors of wars and all sorts of things going on. Earthquakes and hurricanes and floods. The kingdom is almost here. I point out to you in the book of Colossians chapter 1, in verse number 13, the Bible talks about those who have been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Notice the past tense of the word translated or put into the kingdom of God. There were those in the church at Colossae who were already in the kingdom. If that does not serve as good evidence, what about Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9? Here we have Apostle John, a man who has been inspired by, divinely inspired, to write the book of Revelation. And in Revelation 1 and verse 9, he announces that he is in the kingdom. Now, either I believe somebody who tells me the kingdom is not here yet, or I believe a divinely inspired writer of the Word of God who says he's in the kingdom. The kingdom is here, and it has been here for nearly 2,000 years. But when the end comes, that kingdom will be delivered up to God. But think about this as well. Not only when the end comes will the kingdom be delivered up, but also Jesus will put down all of his rule, all of his authority, and all of his power. You may have noticed that also in our text, in our verse, in verse number 24 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, surely you and I know that according to his own words, the Lord's words, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, I have how much authority? I have all authority. And he continues to have all authority until the end of the age or until the end of the world. The beautiful thing about this is that when the end comes, he will put down that rule, he will put down that authority, and he will put down that power, and he will be not only heirs with us, according to the book of Romans chapter 8, in verse number 17, we will be joint heirs with our Savior. What a wonderful blessing and concept. That is, that you and I will be joint heirs with the Son of God, with the one who died for us on the cross, and together we will serve our Almighty Father when the end comes. But let's continue. When the end comes, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 16, a central passage here concerning the second coming of the Lord. In verse number 16 of 1 Thessalonians 4, the Bible says, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God." Somebody read this verse one time and wondered aloud, "I wonder if I've missed the trumpet sound of the Lord coming. I wonder if I have missed the shout of the Lord." And I assure you have not. When we hear the shout of the Lord and the shout of the angel and the blowing of the trumpets, you and I will know the end has come, according to the pen of the Apostle Paul. You might recall in the book of Acts chapter 1 and verse number 11, when Jesus was about to ascend into heaven, in fact, as he began to ascend into heaven, the folks there were struck with the scene before them. In verse number 11, notice the wording here, "Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." We also learn from Revelation chapter 1 in verse number 7, "Behold, he comes with the clouds." There are those who teach and instruct their listeners that the Lord is going to return to this earth, sit on the throne of David for a period of 1,000 years, and there are other bits and pieces of that premillennialism teaching. The Bible nowhere suggests or teaches that the Lord is going to step foot back on this earth. He will come in the air, as we'll notice here in a few seconds, to retrieve the faithful. That will occur when the end comes. When the end comes, as we continue on, we also notice from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse number 15, that the dead will be raised. Notice Paul's writing, verse 15, chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians. "For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep." The word asleep here is simply a euphemism for the idea of death or dying. And here the apostle is simply announcing that when the end comes, one of the events that surrounds this time is that the dead will be raised. Now let me pose to you a question. How many of the dead will be raised when this occurs? The answer is all of them. And how many resurrections are there going to be when the end comes? The answer is there's going to be one resurrection. Did you realize that some doctrines today, close and far, teach by virtue of their teaching, there's going to be multiple resurrections? Not according to the Word of God. In the book of John, chapter 5, verses 28 and verse 29, one of the statements that Jesus makes quite often and makes for a good study is the idea of "marvel not." Don't be surprised. And he says in verse number 28, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice." What about that word "all" in verse number 28? What does "all" mean? It means all, right? "And some shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." We also learn from the book of Acts 24 in verse number 15 that there will be a resurrection. Not several resurrections, not a few resurrections, but there will be a resurrection of the dead. When will this occur? When the end comes. These are the key words for our study tonight. That when the end comes, the dead are going to be raised. Every single last one of them, according to the text. But not only these. When the end comes, the living will be changed. The living will be changed. Did you realize that there is a resurrection chapter in the Word of God? We know that the great faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, the great love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, but 1 Corinthians 15 is the resurrection chapter. In the book of 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, Paul writes this, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." That is, we're not all going to what? We're not all going to die. But we all will be what? We all will be changed. If the Lord were to return at this very moment, and that's certainly a possibility, or sometime later on tonight, or sometime later in our lifetimes, we would still be alive. What's going to happen to us? Well, the Bible alerts us to the fact that we all are going to be changed. I want you also to notice in our text how quickly this change is going to occur. Early part of verse number 52, it will be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, by the way, that we read about in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Let me ask you, how fast is the twinkling of an eye? How quick is the twinkling of an eye? You might say, to be accurate, it is quicker than the blink of an eye. I've ran into folks who say, now when I hear this last trump of God, I'm going to rush down to the building and be immersed in the waters of baptism, all in that twinkling of an eye, or I'm going to run over to brother so-and-so's house and make things right with brother or sister so. Really? All in the twinkling of an eye? I don't believe so. I do not believe so. Somebody may ask you one day, well, we're going to be changed. The Bible is very clear about that. Into what are we going to be changed? You know, there was people in the Bible that also were wondering about that. And Paul addressed that in verse number 35 of the resurrection chapter. He says, "But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come?" I want you to notice the answer really in verse number 38. God gives it a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body. The answer to the query of what kind of body are we going to have is, I don't know. Whatever has pleased God in this particular setting is okay with me. But you know that John wrote in the book of 1 John chapter 3 in verse number 2, "Behold, it doth not yet appear what we shall be." I don't care what kind of a body God is going to provide to me if I am to be living when the end comes. Whatever He has in mind is perfectly fine with me. What about you? But I know when the end comes, the living will be changed. But here's some other things to think about. That when the end comes, final judgment will occur. Do you recall in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse number 1, most of us, especially those of us who preach, are familiar, should be, with verse number 2. We can probably quote that. But I want to notice something in verse number 1. When Paul writes to the evangelists, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His what? At His appearing and His kingdom." I want you also to realize that as a result of His appearing and the end of time, He says to him, what I want you to do is what? I want you to preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time is coming when men will not endure what? Sound doctrine. And He warns them that men are going to heap to themselves teachers because they have what? They have itching ears. Now here's the sad part. That some folks are looking for somebody to scratch their itch, and they're going to find somebody to scratch their itch. What we should be concerned about is preaching the unadulterated truth found within the bounds of God's Word. And we're going to continue to do that to those who will listen, to those who will put into action the words of God until He appears. You know, to those who are telling me and telling you that the Lord has already come and the Lord has already appeared, there are so many actions that are connected to that in the Word of God, like this preaching the Word. If the Lord has already appeared, then what am I doing standing up here preaching the Word? What benefit is it? But since He has not appeared yet, I need to be preaching the Word. Final judgment is going to occur when the end comes, as the brother prayed about just a few moments ago. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse number 10, the Bible says, "For we must all," how many of us? "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, to receive the things done in His body, according to that He hath done, whether it be good or bad." Romans chapter 14, verse number 12, "So then every one of us shall give account of ourselves unto God." How many of us in this room does that include? That includes all of us. That includes me, and that includes you and you. All of us are going to have to reckon our lives with God. On what shall we be judged? Well, Jesus said in the book of John 12, in verse number 48, "The words that I speak unto you shall judge you on this last day." The words of Christ. Well, what are the words of Christ? Are they simply the words that are in red? You ever met somebody, a red letter Christian? "I just want to believe the words that are in red." All the black words, they're not very important. I might point out, according to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in verse number 37, "The things that I have written unto you," Paul says, "are the commandments of the Lord." And so even though Paul may have been the author, they are to be considered the words and the commands of the Lord. Seeing that the end means that final judgment is going to occur, and that whatever decision is made is my eternal fate, and that it is sealed, doesn't it behoove us then, move us to make necessary corrections in our life? We can make a big, long list of things that we need to be thinking about. Have I been baptized for the remission of my sins? If I am a child of God, am I living the life that I should be living? Am I in step with the Word of God? Have I been treating my brethren the way that I should be treating my brothers and sisters in Christ? Have I loved them the way that I should be loving them? Am I treating my husband or my wife the way that the Bible illustrates that I should be treating my husband or my wife? Am I married correctly? There's all sorts of questions that I need to be asking. When this time comes, my opportunity to change and amend my life is over with. It's final. And there's nothing that I can do to change it. And so tonight, when the end comes, final judgment is going to occur, and you need to be ready for that day. A few others. When the end comes, the faithful will meet the Lord in the air. Again, we learn this from our text in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 17. This, by the way, is kind of a sequence of events when the end does come. It says, "Then we which are alive and remain," verse 17, "shall be," and there's some key words, by the way, in this verse, "shall be caught up." You might highlight the word "up," "together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord," where at? "To meet the Lord in the air." What about the word "up"? What about the word "clouds"? What about the word "air"? Where are all those at? They're all up. Again, pointing out that we're going to meet the Lord in the air. What a wonderful scene that will be. What a wonderful day that will be. You might recall the song that we sing, "There's a Great Day Coming." You remember that song? "There's a Great Day Coming By and By." What's so great about this day of which we speak tonight? Well, it's going to be great because it's the end of this world as we know it. What a great day it will be to finally be with the Lord and God. There's also a bright day coming. Remember "Bright Day Coming" in that song, where there's no need of the sun or the moon or the stars because the Lord is not only the light source, but the warmth source as well, as you read about in the book of Revelation 21. What's the last verse of that song? Do you recall? "There's a great day coming, there's a bright day coming, and there is a sad day coming." What is going to be sad about this day? If I hear the trump of God, and there will be no mistaking that, and if I hear the shout of the archangel, and there'll be no mistaking that, and I've read my Bible and understand my Bible that upon that event, that we're all going to faithful that are going to meet the Lord in the air, that my feet are planted firmly on this ground. What's sadder than that? Anything sadder than that? I can't think of anything that brings more sorrow than to think about that. That's why that song admonishes us through those words to be sure our life is in compliance with the Word of God. But as we begin to wrap things up, I also want to point out that when the end comes, after all of these others, eternity will then begin. At the end of 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse number 17, after all that we have read about meeting the Lord in the air, the last phrase is, and so shall we ever, ever be with the Lord. Eternity is going to begin, and it will never end. How long is eternity? How well can you define the word eternity? The best that you and I can do is say it's time without what? It's time without end. But you and I cannot begin to understand the concept of eternity forever. Did you know that our lives are ruled by clocks and watches? Is there anybody here today that has not looked at a clock or a watch of some form or some shape? Am I on time to the service tonight at Terre Haute? Did I get up in time for work? Did I get to work on time? Is it time for lunch yet? Is it time for the preacher to get done yet? You haven't done that tonight, have you? But our life is ruled by clocks and watches. You and I cannot begin to understand the concept of eternity, but it is coming. It is coming. At the end of the dividing of the sheep and the goats in Matthew 25, in verse 46, these shall go away, referring to the goats. These shall go away into what kind of punishment? Into everlasting punishment. But the righteous into what kind of life? Righteous into life eternal. This is our aim. This is our endeavor for eternity to be with God. When is this going to occur? When the end comes. When the end comes. Not finally tonight. When the end comes, all troubles of this life will cease. All troubles of this life will cease to exist. In the book of Psalms, Psalm number 16, in verse 11, the psalmist alerts us to this fact, that at the right hand of God, at the right hand of God are pleasures evermore. Pleasures evermore. And then he also may remember John the Revelator writing in Revelation 21, in verse number 4, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Anybody shed a tear today? I venture to guess yes. Anybody here know of somebody who has passed away recently? A loved one perhaps, close friend, close acquaintance, brother, sister in Christ. Anybody in this room experience any sorrow lately from the loss of a loved one or from some other source? Anybody here in pain? Probably so. Some of you are here despite your pain, and that's commendable for you. But you and I are looking for a place, looking toward a place where none of these exist anymore. No more tears. You may ask, when? When is this coming? When the end comes. When the end comes. Now tonight, I can't tell you specifically the date and the time of when the Lord is going to come. Surely we all understand that men in the past have tried that. Remember Joseph Smith, founder of the Church of Christ, Latter-day Saints, the Mormon Church, he tried to predict the Lord's coming a few times, and he's dead and gone, and we're still here. Charles Taz Russell, the founder of the Jehovah's Witnesses, tried and tried again to say the Lord is going to return on such and such a date. Well, he's passed on, and we're still here. You remember a fellow by the name of Harold Camping here a few years ago, more recent vintage? He said that, I believe it was in October of some day, that the Lord is going to come, and he didn't come on that day. And Mr. Camping said, well, I made a mathematical miscalculation. Well, I bet you did. But you made another miscalculation too. You made a biblical miscalculation. That's the more important one. And then he tried to do it again, and he was wrong. And then he properly retired from that business of predicting the Lord's return. The Mayan calendar, remember the Mayan calendar incident? Oh, the world is going to end. People were getting everything ready, setting their houses in order for the wrong reasons. And here we are. I assure you, the Lord is going to return. I can't tell you the date and the time, but we can read the Bible together and know that He is coming. And when He does, you need to be ready, my friend. Perhaps you're with us tonight. It had never been immersed in the waters of baptism. The baptism which the Bible says saves us, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. The baptism that the Bible alerts us to the fact that it washes away our sins, Acts 22 and verse 16. This is the baptism the Lord commanded, Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. If you are a child of God, but you're not living a life that you know is in lockstep with the Word of God. There are things that you're practicing, things that you actively are doing that you know are not according to the Word of God. It's time to shirk those things, to cast those things off, to pray to God to have your sins wiped away. He promises to do that in the book of 1 John, chapter 1, verse 9, that if we confess our sins, that He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Lord is going to return. The end is going to come. The only question that remains now is whether I am ready and whether you are. And if you are not ready at this moment, we urge you to take the steps to get ready right now as we stand and as we sing.